Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. This is Brian McAvoy with Inside Out Trading, and today I'm excited to be interviewing Ali Crooks. He's been trading for quite a while and helping traders, and he runs TradersSupport.com. Welcome, Ali, and glad you're here today. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. Appreciate it.
Now, you have been trading for a while, and I know that in your history, at least over the last several years, you've really been focusing on helping other traders. But how did you get started with trading and everything anyway?
Great question. It feels a long while ago now. It's back in early 2000s, back when you'll remember dial up and partial fills on trades, and you wait for another 10 minutes for the rest of your order to get filled. So that's when I first got involved. So I think sometimes I'm a bit of a dinosaur, and I say to people I work with, you don't know how lucky you've got it with, you know, fast internet and, you know, fills that happen in seconds. So it was a long while ago. I know I could go into a lot of detail, but I think the important thing for you to listen to this is I was one of these people that didn't have a passion for trading when I first looked at it. I wanted to get away from business. I'd had a very successful initial business, started when I was young, sold that after 3 years and thought I was going to be the next Richard Branson. My second business fell flat on its face. And the response at the time was my business partner had remortgaged three times, and he was out, and his wife, I was 40, 50, I can't remember the exact amount. It was enough, about probably nearer 50 grand, 50,000 pounds in debt. So I was at the point where I didn't want employees. I didn't want a business. And I felt very negative towards being in business, because I'd had the big high and then the big low. And right. during that time, I'd been part of investment club, and I'm sure you've got them over there in the States, is where, you know, people will get together, like 20 people will get together once a month and spend 3 hours deciding which one stock they're going to buy. Mm-hmm. And for me, at a young age and very gung ho, I was like, this isn't for me. And one of the guys there, he actually traded. So whilst we'd be sitting there bored to tears where everyone was making their case for Microsoft instead of this company, I'd be sort of watching what he was doing. So he'd use those Sunday meets, and he'd be going through his charts, and I first got involved with options. So that's how I started out. But it went very wrong, because I basically thought, well, options, look how much money you can make from options, forgetting that trade direction is still important. You know, you can't just get yourself out of a hole just because you bought a call option. You know, it's not foolproof. So I bought into the leverage, and it didn't work out very well. And back then, you didn't have all these online courses. The first training I did was in Las Vegas. So I'd fly over to Las Vegas, bearing in mind I'm in debt. I'm not actually making a success of this, but I remember at the time, even though I was working a dead end job, I was working six in the morning till one in the afternoon, getting home in time for the US session. So that's what I used to do. So I worked a rubbish job just to be able to do this. And even then, I still wasn't in love with it. I was in love with what I thought trading would give me, which is, you know, a life where I didn't have a boss, didn't have the responsibilities. And I was very skewed. I was looking at all of these upsides and not thinking about the downsides, where, yes, you have all this time and freedom, but you don't have connection. It's solely down to you. And at that point in the journey, I just want to be successful. And I thought, if I can just make enough money in 1 month to pay the equivalent of my rent and bills, that would be my first tick in the box of success. Mm-hmm. So that was and again, it was a foolish goal, really, because what would happen is, as I would get closer to this arbitrary goal of £500, so I was in a tiny one bedroom flat, and that just about covered my outgoings, I would make poor decisions. So, you know, I'd get close to it and I'd start thinking about the goal, and then I would edge into trades too quickly, or, you know, jump out, or just be there. And this goal tormented me. But I think back then I was very dogged and very goal orientated. And I was like, I need to achieve this. And actually, if I'd had somebody around me back then that would have been able to sit there and go, it's great. You've got great determination. You've got great focus. But this goal of arbitrary goal of hitting your month's wages, that's not going to, you're not necessarily going to do it the month after or the month after. You should be focusing on being a good trader and executing correctly. But my sort of determination just kept me going. And then what I realized over time, I read a couple of trading psychology books, A Disciplined Trader, Mark Douglas. I realized that there was a strong association with what I'd learned in sports. I'd been good at sport as a kid. I'd been captain of various teams. And I could see the correlations in terms of, you know, being able to perform your best, but still not get the outcome you want. So slowly I started to think, okay, there's this huge correlation between the two. It's not just brute force, determination and guts that's going to make you a successful trader. You need humility. You need vigilance. You need calmness. There's all these other things that I was essentially ignoring. So I built this up and I eventually got a mentor. It wasn't in the same way that you would mentor students now with Zoom or somebody coming, you know, to you, because back then most of the trading education was US based. It wasn't big in the UK at that point. So I worked with this guy. I remember it was on a voice over IP connection. There was no screen. So you'd wait for it to come in, but actually it was really good because he was very calm. He was from Louisiana. He had a low tone to his voice, which was the opposite of me, who is quite upbeat, gung-ho. And he'd calm me down. And actually, when you would talk about a position that you were going to trade, having to describe it, because we had no Zoom with a screen, you were literally talking out your trading idea. It was actually really good because it was like you were talking to four or five other people, and they weren't there to say, I think that's rubbish, you shouldn't do this, or that's great. It was just, okay, if you're going to take this position in the S&P, what are your reasons for it? What's your target? What's your stop? And it was great because it got you to verbalize out loud what it is you were going to do. And that really helped me. And for me, that was great because I started to see some consistency. And then I was able to get to a point where I didn't need to do the job full time. So I moved it down to part time. I was really lucky because the guy at the factory let me work Sundays on Sundays you got paid double shift. So you get twice the money for one shift. So I ended up doing about 4 to 5 shifts, but only in a part time way. So again, I was able to just build my account because I wasn't at the point where I was making enough to be able to extract my money on a monthly basis. And I think this is something a lot of traders are so keen to do, is they want to get to the point where they can live off their trading. And often, in my experience, they're probably a little bit too soon. I mean, there's a whole other discussion about prop firms and everything else, but you know, we didn't have all of those. You know, you had to build your capital up. So it was a long journey for me to get to the point where I didn't need anything else, just purely my trading. I traded full time with no other income for about 9 months, probably a bit longer, actually, nine, 10 months. And then I was fortunate enough to meet my partner at the time. She worked in sales, so she had a good job. We came together, so there were two incomes coming into the fam, into the household. Mm-hmm. But what I found really interesting is I got quite bored, and she, as a sales director, she was getting flown over to Luxembourg, sales conferences in Vienna, and she'd come back on a Friday and she'd be like, "What have you done?" I'm like, "Well, I've been at the gym and placed some trades." And after about 2 years of that, I started getting itchy feet, and I got into education purely by chance. Somebody I knew through a friend said, there's a guy in London looking for people that want to do some weekend work training groups of people. And I went down to this audition and they got me to stand there and talk about myself and talk about my trading. And then I got a call saying, yes, we'd like you to come in and do weekend trainings. And at that point, it was perfect for me because I was day trading for most of the week, and then two weekends a month with an addition. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I would go out and I'd train a group of people, come back. So for me, it was perfect because it took a little bit of the pressure off of trading, having to pay the bills. It was nice because I was able to compound my trading account more because there was my partner's income. There was an income I was getting from doing some speaking, and I really enjoyed it. It wasn't something that I planned out and said, right, this is what I want to go. I want to go and educate people. Right. But I always say to people, be careful what you wish for, because at school, I wanted to be a teacher, but I looked at how much my teachers earned and went, but I want to earn more money. So I always loved being part being able to teach. And I used to help out at a lot of the sports clubs and coach and teach kids. But I never went down that route because I wanted to earn lots of money. So I've always had this unknowing, almost this battle going on inside me saying, I want to help, but I also want to earn money. And I would say, you know, be careful what you wish for. Fast forward 10 or 12 years. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get to do both. And Trader Support Club, again, that came around very randomly. I was in a position where I was working for a training company and I sat there and said to them, look, I'm sitting with these guys for 3 days, teaching them the basics, really. I was essentially teaching them the basics. And they would then go on to a further training that either I would teach or somebody else would teach. Problem was that training was 3 or 4 months down the line. And when they walked back into the room, they'd forgotten everything that they'd learned on those 3 days. You know, very few of them had gone away and, you know, and pushed on because they weren't at that point. So I said to this training company, look, why don't I put an online portal together that is essentially a load of videos just helping these guys to be able to do small things, not to get them to, you know, zero to hero, but just get out there and put some of the things they've learned into practice. And I created this online portal for them. And then that company got into trouble, financial trouble, and they owed me a fair bit of money. So I did a deal with them and said, look, I'll cut the bill in half that you owe me. But you give me the rights to take this portal and I can use it and anybody can join it. It's not just your students. Mm-hmm. And that's how Trader Support Club came along. And this portal was there. I rebranded it and then people just started tagging and following me and it grew organically. And it's still not a big train. I'm not one of these big training organizations because I don't need to be or want to be. I get a real buzz out of working with people closely, probably like you. It's nice to go and speak and 2 hours in front of a big group. But what I really enjoy is being at the cold face with people and working with somebody in month two and then seeing where they are in month six. Because the way I do things is I will be heavily into the trader's psychology. But my belief is trader's psychology or trading psychology is number one. But you've got to have all the pillars in place. It's no good having high resilience if your strategy is poor and your risk management is poor. Your resilience will only last for so long. If you're risking 5% at a round trip, it's sooner or later. I say to students, if I was risking 5% a trade, I would have poor trading psychology. So you've got to have the whole remit. I always think of it like a table, and I think of each pillar. So your analysis, be it fundamentals or technicals, your next pillar or leg is risk on that table. Your next pillar is data, your ability to analyze your own trades and your journaling, and then mindset in its own right and having an ability to perform at a high level. Take one of those legs away, the table will probably stay there, but put any pressure on it, losing run, winning run. I see this a lot. I see a lot of traders actually, they're at their most vulnerable, almost nervous, not necessarily when they've had 3 or 4 losers because I've psychologically prepared them for that. But when they have a big winning run, they can often be just as fragile, especially if it's the first time they've been through it. So I'm a big believer in that table needs all the legs in place. I think fundamentally psychology is key.
Yeah, well, from a psychology standpoint, I love asking because, you know, trading psychology, there are a lot of different perspectives out there and it can cover a lot of ground. So when you're talking trading psychology, what's your perspective on trading psychology? Just as a general, your take on it.
That's a really good question. Not one I think I've been asked. For me, it's I would say I'm the coach psychologist on the ground, as in I haven't got a degree in psychology. I did sports psychology, so I understand, I think, performance. And when you've done 10 or 15,000 hours of live trader training / coaching in a trading room, you'd almost have to be pretty stupid not to see certain patterns. I think if I was to sum it up, I would say it's three things. It's attributes versus skills as a kind of umbrella. So what I see a lot is a lot of traders will try and solve a psychological issue. So let's say fear of loss, they'll try and solve that with a technical solution. So they don't deal with the fact that no matter what strategy they've got, if they hit a losing run, they crumble or they are less confident. But what they think is, if I get this next indicator or this next strategy, that thing will solve the psychology. So I see this all the time. I say it all the time. There's too many traders looking for a technical solution to what is more of a psychological problem. But to answer your question directly, I'd say a lot of it is understanding their personality. So personality styles are very big. Are you more driver orientated? So are you, I mean, everyone likes to win, but are you really about winning? That's what boosts your ego. So are you fast paced, driver orientated? Are you somebody who's more expressive? You like the idea. I see this a lot of people who like the idea of trading, but actually they're people. They like to be around people, and the trading thing, they markets go quiet. They cause trouble. They get bored. They're not as vigilant. They lose their focus. And then the other side of it, you've got the slower paced, more analytical types. So the engineers, the accountants, great with data, great with understanding systems, processes, but can struggle sometimes when the losing run happens and they're not being right. They're not right. So I always look at it that way. And then you've got the amiables down at the bottom who are very good at following a system. I'll tell them what to do. They'll do it, but they lack the confidence in themselves. So I look at it a little bit like a quadrant, and every single personality style is a strength at some point in your journey, but it can also be a weakness. So for me, when I was in that spell of trying and failing, I was all about, well, you've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be trading. You've got to be pressing the button. I was very, very driver orientated. But if you asked me to submit my trade results, or my coach had asked me to submit my trade results, I wouldn't have filled in my spreadsheet. I wouldn't have done the journaling. I'd always get round to that side of it. So I think a lot of the time a trader is, there'll be an area that they're disowning. And it's often that area, if they would put a little bit more attention on that, that they would see an uptick in their performance, because that people tend to go to the area that they feel most comfortable in. I went to the area of placing trades, being in the market, being there, got to be in it to win it, because that was comfortable for me, being aggressive, being trying to be dominant, but trying to be successful. But what was uncomfortable for me was sitting down and journaling exactly what I was doing, keeping a note, a log of each trade, measuring the R value, the win rate, the max exit I could have had, all of the data that we collect, as I get my traders to collect. When I started out, I just wasn't interested in that, or I knew it was important, but I'll get round to it. I'll do it later. So I was avoiding that bit. So I think if traders took a more rounded view of their personality and how it can be a strength and a weakness, and where it's showing up positively for them and where it may be showing up negatively, I think that would be a useful thing. And that's what I do with my guys. I try and get them to increase their self-awareness and really think about their attributes. You can say, what are the key attributes? Resilience, discipline. But no trader wakes up in the morning and goes, do you know what I'm going to do today? I'm just going to mess it all up. Every trader wakes up every single day with the intention of being disciplined. Whether they end up at the end of the day fulfilling that is another matter. So I sometimes think intention isn't enough. They've got to look at why maybe they're disciplined. What are their trigger points? Are they naturally an over trader when the pendulum swings to an extreme, or are they an under trader? So a lot of the time, like, I get my guys to say, okay, you're on a winning run. Do you loosen up and start risking too much? Or when you're on a winning run, do you tighten up and want to hold on to the profits you've got? Think about how you're feeling in those moments. That will give you a marker as to whether you're more of a under trader, over trader, fear-based trader, greed-based trader. I think knowing yourself is very important.
Yeah. Well, speaking of strengths and weaknesses, I mean, there are different philosophies on that. Like you said, do you generally lean toward, focus on your weaknesses so that you have a better, well-roundedness or better balance overall? Or do you also maybe lean, just again, from your sports background, to don't put so much energy into your weaknesses, but go ahead and build on your strengths and play to your strengths?
Great question. I think for me, it depends where you are in, if I hadn't focused on the weakness of my lack of data collection and journaling, mm-hmm. I don't know. I may still be in the same cycle of making the same mistakes because there was a lack of self-awareness. So in that scenario, for me, I would say the fact that I wouldn't necessarily say it was my weakness. I focused on the thing that I was avoiding. Okay. I think it's a balance. I think that where focusing in your strengths is very important is thinking about also the situation and environment you're in. So I see a lot of people come to me, they go, they want to be a day trader. And my first question is why? Well, because I can make more money. I'm like, well, how do you know that? You know, the stats will tell you the complete opposite. The higher percentage of day traders fail than swing. Oh, but you started as a day trader, Ali. I'm like, but you're not the same person as me. You're not at the same point in your life, and you haven't got necessarily the same. So it doesn't mean it's the right thing for you to do. So I think in that scenario, looking at your environment, looking at your goals, and focusing on where your strengths would lie is very important. As in, if you know that focus is a real issue, and you know you're distracted, or you've got two kids running around at home, is day trading, are you playing to your strengths by being a day trader? Would you be better off focusing on swing trading, even though your friend told you that day trading is the way to go?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's funny. Well, now, one thing you mentioned early on that I think so, also, because you're talking about attributes. I've talked to, you know, a number of people on the podcast, and quite a few of them will say, to be a successful trader, especially long term, you really do need to have a passion for it. But like you said, you know, when you first got into it, that wasn't there. And it was just because it was a way to make money. And a lot of people get into trading just because they're running away from the job. They hate the job and the job life. So it's not like they're running to trading because they love trading. They're just looking at it as a way to make money. So what are your thoughts or advice for people who maybe they're in that position? They're not necessarily running toward trading because they got hooked on it. It's like, yeah, that's what I want to do, but they're just running away from something and they don't really have the passion for it. So what's your advice for somebody that's in that situation where, yeah, maybe they're already trading, maybe even already a little bit successful, but it's just not something that really fires them up? What are your thoughts on that?
I would say find a way to get excited or passionate about it, because I'm in complete agreement. I find myself at my trading desk looking, if I can't trade, it makes me more unhappy than when I can trade. So I'm the same. I'm like, I don't see a day where I won't trade, because I just love the game. I love the challenge. And I think if you don't fall in love with it, I agree, it's going to be very hard to continue it. How, if you're in that position and you don't, I think it's just look at all of the benefits it gives you, and then, but really look at those in detail. Like, look at, find ways to fall in love with it, because I think I totally agree. If you're not in that position, longevity is hard, because the inevitable drawdowns, the inevitable quiet periods, the inevitable okay year versus a great year, that's coming regardless of skill. So it's a bit of a blunt answer, but find a way to fall in love with it, because I think if you don't fall in love with the process of trading, as I call it, the game, it's going to be very hard to maintain that. Because certainly what's interesting is when I get around my friends who are traders, there's never any talk about money. It's all about, oh, I was in this trade and this happened, or what's your views on this? And it's never, how much money did you make versus how much? It's not about that. And whereas you talk to somebody who's been in the game a year, they, like you said, they might be being a bit profitable. It's very, well, how long till I can do a prop firm challenge? How much money is realistic? How much do you think I can make? And if I've got this much, and I'm like, it's all external. So I think it's really work on finding and acknowledging the internal reasons why you're there. And I think a lot of traders, it's a sink or swim. They get to a point where, like me, I was like, I've now falling in love with the game. I'm now falling in love with the internal challenge, because that's all it is. There's nothing there. It's just lines on a screen. It's can I keep doing this dance and getting better at this dance each month? Because I see it as a dance. So I don't see it as a fight. And I think a lot of traders, they see it as a fight. They're fighting the market. And that will wear you down energy-wise. I think one of the most important attributes to have as a trader is have a sense of humor towards the market. You know, the amount of times you think you know it's going to go your way. So You got to fall in love with the game, I think, and that will be different for different people. But I'm in complete agreement with your other guests that, yeah, long term, if you don't have a passion for it, it's very hard to maintain it.
Well, you ever run across somebody where it's just plain, you can tell by talking to them that really trading just isn't for them? What do you say to them?
I'm like the annoying sort of 5-year-old nephew or son that I just ask the question, why? So yeah. I just keep saying, okay, so why are you doing it? Because I want to make money. Well, why trading? Well, I can do it from home. Yeah, but why not drop shipping? I will keep pushing to see, you know, as if they, to try and get them to realize, okay, well, hang on a minute, why am I doing this? But I see a lot of people who stick it out past that kind of year, 18 month period that did come in for the money. They do start to fall in love with it. But I think, and it's not to blow my own trumpet, but I think that's because a lot of the time I try when I'm working with people to get them to do that. It's the traders that are out there on their own that are, you know, just doing it for the money. The greed is at that high level that I think they're going to struggle long term because that's energy sapping. And I think with trading, you've got to be in a balanced place. You can't be pushing your energy out and being constantly aggravated by your P&L. It'll drain you over a 5, 10, 15 year period. You've got to be able to dance with it. You've got to be able to move with it and roll with it. And part of that is not being consumed by the end goal. But in the same breath, those measurements are important. Nobody got in it as a charity. We all got in it to make money. But you have to be able to let that, you have to be able to park that. A friend of mine says you put that on the shelf and then you carry on doing what you need to do.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, staying after it, what do you consider, like if somebody is brand new to trading, what do you consider a reasonable length of time for them to expect to have to just, work at it before realizing, the gratification of it? What do you consider a reasonable time frame?
Yeah, I put it into three phases. So I say you've got your main learning phase, which I think can be anywhere from, I would say anywhere from, if they're brand new, it can be anywhere from 3 to 9 months. And that is purely down to how much time they've got, how much focus they've got. You know, if you've got somebody in their early 20s, just come out of university, they haven't got a plan yet. They're sat at home, they've got 9 hours a day. They can pick up the skills, the technical analysis, everything else fairly quickly. But if you've got a single mum, 2 kids, and she's got all the determination, she's got 1 hour a night. So I sort of say that initial learning period, I call it a learning hump. That's where it's everything. It's psychology, it's risk, it's terminology, it's all this stuff that they've got to consume and break down and understand. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the second phase, which is where you apply it. So I always say the phase one is interpretation. So that's can be 3 months, 9 months, depends on the person. Then you've got implementation, which is implementing everything. And then you've got, I think, again, that can be, depending on if you're a day trader, that you can have a very short implementation period to start seeing how you execute. But again, if you're a swing trader and you're averaging one trade a week, that's going to extrapolate out probably another 3 months. And then you've got what I call realization, where you start to then be able to see how are you actually performing? You know, are you sticking to your rules? Where are your weak points? Where are your strengths? And then you've got personalization. So I see it as 4 phases. And the personalization phase is when you start feeling confident in your approach. You can execute correctly. Your exposure to winners and losers. You've been through a couple of winning and losing periods. You've seen how your discipline and your emotions go. So I say it's anywhere from a year up to 2 years. And I know that seems like a long time, but the competency and the results can come before that. But I'm talking about the trader who's like, right, I'm there now. I can do this for the rest of my life. So I would say anywhere from, about 9 months up to 2 years. And the reason I say that is it's so dependent on how much time that person has. And I don't like to be the person that says you can do it in 3 months. And I give that person false hope because they've got an hour a day and they're just not getting through enough exposure. They're going to be the ones that's going to take them longer. But the people who come and see me, who've got 10, 15 hours a day, that time frame can, come down quite a lot. Yeah.
10, 15 hours a day.
I get a few. Yeah. I get the young crowd. You've got, they've got all the time and all the focus, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be better. You know, that sometimes, sometimes in those early days, being in front of the screens too much is the issue. They spent too much time in front of the screens.
No, that's why I chuckle. Yeah, I run across a few where it's like, there is no life other than trading. And it's like, you need to mix it up a little bit.
I'm in complete agreement.
Just from a health standpoint.
Yeah, I know one guy, and he got close to a mental breakdown just because just became obsessed. He got in a really bad way. He would sit in front of his screens from six in the morning till nine. He would you know, relationships. He stopped going out. He stopped seeing friends. He just consumed by it. And he came through it. And he's still a very good trader. And he actually helps me a little bit now with some of the students, because I think it's good for them to see that actually that level of focus is not actually helpful. That's where you've passed being productive and effective, and you're just doing yourself a harm, really.
Right. Well, now, so when people come to tradersupport.com, your site, what kind of offerings do you have? Do you have like courses, one-on-one coaching?
Yeah.
How do you help traders? What's it like?
So somebody comes to work? I have a philosophy where whichever program you go for, you will get some form of direct feedback. So there will be some coaching. So I don't have a single program that you can buy and just go through it. So we have a what we call a kickstart program, which is for brand new traders or traders that are a bit lost. They've overconsumed it on YouTube. They've got information coming at them, and it's a 4-week program, and it takes them right down to the basics. And I do it on purpose. So even the traders that have got experience, I want to see how they execute simple technical analysis, simple risk management. Because often it's the guys that have been in the game a year that have consumed so much information, they know a lot, but they can't necessarily deliver it. And the nice thing about that program is it's relatively low cost. But once a week, I will go through, I do a live Q&A, and I go through everybody's homework. So the idea is you submit homework each week for 4 weeks, I go through it. And then at the end of that, you're equipped with simple strategies, simple analysis. So if you're new, you can go away and execute that. Or if you've got experience, you've got something that you know that works. It's not basics that I don't do. It's exactly what I do. And then if you want more time with me, I've got a group coaching program where we have 16 hours a week of live analysis or Q&As or coaching that go on. Or I've got a one-to-one mentoring program as well. But the way I like to set it up is I like people to go through the basic one, because then they learn more about how we do things, and then they're better prepared if they want the other of the two elements. And I set it up in a way as it's primarily the two higher levels are primarily subscription orientated, because I've had people that need me for 4 months. They go and do their own thing, and then a year down the line, something's not clicking, something's not working, and they can come back. So the nice thing there is that they're not in a situation where, you know, there's a lot of these trainings out there where they charge, you know, they charge $20,000 for 3 months, the clock's ticking. And then at the end of the 3 months, if they need to go again, they've got to pay it again. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I've just got a slightly different approach, which is you essentially have a subscription model at that level, so you can tap in and out with me. And the nice thing is it's fairly limited. So the group coaching program is limited to 120 members, and the one-to-one program is limited to 30 members. So it's nice that so people know that they're not one of 500 in that group coaching environment, and they're not going to be able to get some interaction with me or Martin or a couple of the guys that help me out. So that's the way I've set it up. So it's a smaller process. It's a little bit more intimate, but it means that trader can really get under their skin. They can get under their own skin and really, really, really get clear on how they're operating in the markets.
Oh, very cool. And your site, again, it's Traders Support.
Traders Support Club. So traderssupportclub.com. Yeah. So it's just got a club on the end. So we've kept it. It's a bit like it does what it says. We're a club that supports traders. So it's just a simple name. But yeah, I've been running a trading room since 2011. You know, we track our trades. So I never tell people where to buy and sell, but we will do the analysis. We will come up with the short list, and I'm very transparent about the trades I'm in. I've got my own fund that is audited as well. So that's something I did in the last 4 years. So I try and bring that element of transparency. People see the trades I'm in. And the nice thing I think the community say, especially in the early days, is if they're in a trade knowing that I'm in it as well, or a group of people are in it. But what I'm very big on is not like a forum where Joe will ask Mike, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? Or I'm doing this. It's very much, look, this is the process. You can sit on my shoulder. You can see what I do. But when it comes to you making that call, you've got to make that call. So when somebody says to me, Ali, what do you think about a short on the S&P or whatever the particular setup is, I just hit the ball back into their court and say, well, okay, Chris, what do you think about it? Why are you looking at that trade? Because I want to know what they're thinking and their reasoning before I then just go, yeah, I think it's great. Because that's, to me, coaching is about making sure you empower that person. You don't just simply tell them what you think and they can follow along.
Okay, gotcha. Very cool. Very cool. Well, this has been really helpful, man. And it sounds like you got a good program you got going on over there, Trader Support Club. And so if somebody does want to connect with you, that's probably the best place to go.
Yeah, just Google Trader Support Club. It'll come up there. If you want to drop an email in as well, there's a contact form. It may take me a little while, but I reply to every single trader-oriented email. So if you're asking a question, what about our training or about a particular method, I make a point of getting back to everyone. Yeah, I'm on TikTok as well. So you can find me at Alistair Crooks on TikTok and Instagram, Ali Crooks Official. So gotcha. I'll make sure you've got those links. But yeah, I'm not great on DMs. I'm old school. So if you want to hear from me, best thing to do is send in an email. They all get tracked, and my PA makes sure I reply to everybody. But I'm not great on replying to DMs on socials. So the best way is to drop us an email and we'll get back to anyone.
Very good. Very good. Well, again, thanks for taking the time with us and everybody who's listening today. If you like what Ali's got here and, it sounds like, resonates with you and what you want to do with your trading, definitely, reach out and connect with him and act on what you learned here today. Don't just sit there and keep it, settling for the same old results if they're not what you want. So, but at the same time, I applaud you for taking time out of your day to, learn and grow and develop as a trader, not just keep, chasing the latest magic strategies and all that kind of stuff. So, it's very good for that. And of course, if you enjoyed the episode, make sure you subscribe. And so, Ali, any famous last words for our listeners today?
I would say what I always tell us to traders is try and expand your space and time horizon. If you find yourself focusing on the result of this week, expand it out to the month. If you're worrying about the result for the month, expand it out to the quarter. Take the longer term view. The traders that take the longer term view, not necessarily their positions, but how they operate and what they're looking for, will tend to stick at it a lot longer.
Yeah, good advice. Well, it's also just a less stressful way to operate. So yeah, good advice. Indeed. Well, again, thanks for taking the time for this today. And I appreciate you being here. And we'll go ahead and wrap things up. I hope everybody will, come back again and listen to the Consistent Profits Podcast. Talk to you soon. Cheers.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by insideouttrading.com and pick up your free copy of Break the Cycle, 10 things you can do to stop reinforcing the past and get your trading on the right track. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers!